Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this special Friday. In America and a few other countries, today is called Black Friday and is projected to be a very significant financial day as both in-person and online spending will be at a frenzied pace in response to bargain deals. Today formally launches the Christmas spending spree on the heels of a wonderful Thanksgiving Day yesterday. But in our journey through God's grand narrative, today is a far more significant day. Yesterday, we witnessed the phenomenal dedication of the great temple of God in Jerusalem. Solomon prayed a remarkable dedication prayer as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8 and 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Following his prayer, Solomon and all in attendance witnessed another spiritual phenomenon as God sent fire from heaven to the great altar in front of the temple. The record explains it this way. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices on the altar. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down from heaven and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worshiped. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. What followed was perhaps the largest sacrificial offering ever given in Israel, either before or since, as thousands of animals were sacrificed before the Lord in thanksgiving and adoration. This great celebration involved so many people that it required several days after the dedication ceremony to complete all the sacrifices and the worship, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 4 to 10. Eventually, the people all dispersed from this historic event and we presumed settled back in their homes with a great sense of anticipation as they contemplated what life in Jerusalem would become with this great temple casting its spiritual shadow over the entire city. I doubt Solomon expected it, but as he rested from all these festivities, suddenly God appeared to Solomon for a second very significant time. You'll recall the first time had been at Gibeon after Solomon's coronation to the throne, and God had initiated that contact with Solomon, inviting King Solomon to ask God for anything he desired. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Solomon on that occasion had requested wisdom and discernment to govern well, and God promised Solomon would be blessed with those two things and much, much more in abundance. This visionary encounter with God after the dedication of the temple is just as historic and is recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 9 and 2 Chronicles chapter 7. God's words were staggering and have been quoted and claimed by God's people many times since. God said to King Solomon, "I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." 1 Kings chapter 9. Now, if that was all God had promised Solomon and his people, it would have been enough for the people of Israel to know that for the remainder of human history, God's eyes and heart would be focused in a special way on that one place on all the earth. Oh my, what a great assurance from God. But God had much more to say to Solomon that we need to hear today. "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever." 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 to 16. You've heard those words before, haven't you, my friends? May I invite you to pause and reflect on them today within the context of what we now understand to be a many-day dedication of the temple experience in Jerusalem. Do you hear God saying there will be times when he initiates disaster upon his people, of drought or famine or locusts or plague? Those are significant disciplinary actions God has taken many times in history, attempting to teach his people important lessons about the price of turning away from God. Have you lived long enough And are you spiritually astute enough to recognize when what some people may call a natural disaster is actually a God-sent discipline with important lessons intended? Do you see the very clear formula God presented to Solomon about moving from that place of rebellion and discipline to a place of repentance, restoration, and blessing from God? There are four very specific steps in that process. Do you see them? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's one, and pray, that's two, and seek my face, that's three, and turn from their wicked ways, that's four, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Can you hear God asking us today, now what don't you understand about this? What is unclear to you? And do we clearly see God's progression of his holy response? Then will I hear from heaven, that's one, and I will forgive their sin, that's two, and I will heal their land, that's three. And my friends, as we have watched God's people, both Israel and the global church, over the past nearly 3,000 years since God made this promise to Solomon, what do we conclude? What has history taught us about our understanding of and our response to this promise of God to King Solomon? It's vitally important we also embrace the remainder of God's message to Solomon in this historic event. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and you go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and I will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 19 and 20. Pause. Look closely at history, recorded both in the Bible and history books. How and when does history show us that God was faithful to this warning? How long were the people of Israel scattered around the world and their land occupied by Gentiles who refused Israelites any claim to the land or any significant population in the land? As you may know, it has been in our lifetime, 1948, that the land has once again been called the State of Israel, and the people of Israel have returned from all over the world in large numbers to live in their God-given land. We need to pause and reflect on the very powerful significance of God's promise to Solomon in response to Solomon's dedication of the Jerusalem temple. I urge you to read those chapters of God's word very carefully, asking God to show you today how God is fulfilling those promises in 2025.